Well, good afternoon. Thank you all for being here to celebrate Pat's life. One of the songs that that captures what has happened to her is one that Carl asked me to sing.
Many times in my childhood, travel afar by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip round me, and so gently he'd say,
glad you're here. On behalf of Matt and Carl, we appreciate you making time to come out today as we celebrate the life of that beautiful woman. Isn't she beautiful? She wasn't just beautiful from the outside, she was beautiful from the inside. One of the finest people I've ever known. Pat never drew attention to herself. She drew attention to everybody else, and most importantly, she drew attention to Jesus. And that woman did a ton. Seriously, if we could ourselves do as much as Pat did, I think there would be a huge impact in the world for Jesus Christ. In my world, we would say, Pat's a 10. She was great. And so today, we're not going to sit and we'll cry. We're going to try not to. We're not going to mourn. We're going to celebrate what God did through her. She exemplified the gospel. She lived it out in all that she did. And I personally am proud that she was my friend. I was proud that I knew her. And the way she lived her life guided how I lived my life. I want to raise my life to that standard. My name is Jim McGuire. I'm chaplain with the Beaverton Police Department, but I'm also a long time friend of the families. And they're very special to me. Yesterday we had a wonderful time, if you can have that, at the graveside, as we laid her physical body to rest. But today, we are going to look back at her life, and we're going to see how her life connected with Jesus and what she did for Jesus, because I think all of you are here as a testimony to that. In fact, I would go as far as saying, if everybody she touched in Awana Club here in Oregon could be in here, we would not have enough space in both buildings. If you think about it for a minute, think how many people that woman touched with the gospel. I don't even begin to know, and Carl, you are Mr. Numbers, if anyone ever kept track of how many people came to Christ through her. But when you throw the pebble of Pat Simonson into the pond of life, the ripple goes further than any of us can imagine. And I would go as far as saying it probably touches most continents today. Pretty neat, huh? I hope they can say that about me on this day. Will you pray with me? Father, we give you this time to honor Pat, but Pat would tell me, no, Jim, it's to honor Jesus. And Father, we honor you because of what you did in such a cool life. You made her a neat woman with a huge impact, quiet, humble, but giving. So in this brief time together, may it be intimate, may it bring you glory, and may we do Pat justice, because her life was well spent. In Jesus' name, amen. Patricia Ruth Simonson of Jackson, California, passed away June 25th, 2014, at her home in Jackson, California. She was born in Chicago, Illinois, on April 5th, 1952, a daughter of the late William and Lillian Kruger. Patricia met Carl Simonson while they attended grammar school. This is a long-time relationship. In fact, when Carl and I would visit, he would tell me, I was married to her for 41 years and she was my best friend for 51. Isn't that neat? Then they got together in high school and they got to know each other by attending small group functions together. By the time their senior year rolled around, they were going steady and engaged in 1972. They were married on June 9th, 1973 at Judson Baptist Church in Oak Park, Illinois. Pat graduated from West Suburban Hospital School of Nursing in Oak Park, Illinois in 1972. She graduated from California State Sacramento in 1978 with a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing. She worked 40 years in nursing. 40 years. Initially working in a medical unit at Mercy Hospital in Urbana, Illinois, upon moving to Sunnyvale, California, she worked at El Camino Hospital, TCU, in Mountain View, California. After moving to Beaverton, Oregon, Pat worked at Tuolumne Community Hospital, ICU and CCU, in Hillsboro, Oregon. Later, Pat volunteered at Portland Adventist Clinic, assisting in patient care and education. Recently, Pat worked at Sutter Amador, am I saying that correctly? Amador Hospital in Jackson, in the Pediatric and Family Practice Clinic, as the nursing director. She was active locally, playing the clarinet and French horn in the Amador County Concert Band, volunteered at Amador County Jail leading women's Bible studies, and helped with Cornerstone Church Awana Club Ministries. Pat is survived by her husband of 41 years, Carl Simonson, son Matthew of Jackson, California, daughter Rebecca of Brussels, Belgium, brother Marshall and sister Luella Ward, grandchildren Madeline, Nathaniel, Catherine, and Isaac. You know, one thing I can say, most of you know me here as I look around the room. I pastored here for 33 years, and in the role that I played, I can tell you that at least in those 33 years, Awana was Pat and Carl. They kept it going. They made it vibrant. There are Awana leaders. How many of you were Awana leaders with Pat? I mean, look at that. Look around for a minute. And you're just the few. What a neat lady. What a neat lady. Carl has written a letter to her that his good friend Bob Bredemeyer is going to read. Bob?
My dearest Pat, 41 years, 1 month, and a handful of days ago, I was standing at the front of Judson Baptist Church. The organist had just started playing Here Comes the Bride, and I saw you, accompanied by your father, turned to walk down the aisle to the front of the church. On reaching the front, your father gave me your hand, and we finished walking up together. We had been best friends for nearly 10 years at that point, but this was a new beginning. As we said our vows, even though we didn't have the concluding words, "Till death do us part," in our vows we knew we were covenanting to be together, to love each other exclusively, to care for each other, and to always seek the better for each other in both times of prosperity and need. We have had a great life together. We have had the opportunity to raise two children, whom today are married, have their own children, and are following Jesus Christ in their lives. We have had opportunities to see many parts of the world together and spend much time with our grandkids. You especially were able to have your grandkid vacations these last 3 years by spending a special week plus, with each one of them. I was so happy to see you working in your volunteer capacity at the Portland Adventist Clinic and showing God's love to the low-income clients and at that place. You always cared for people. Over the recent years, your work at the jail and the drop-in center further evidenced your commitment to love God's people wherever they were and in whatever condition they were in. We have also been able to spend much time together and singularly in ministry to the Lord, whether it was as Sunday school teachers, Awana leaders, small group leaders, or just pulling the weeds in front of the flower beds at church. I thank God for the part you have played in completing my life and enabling me to serve him better by filling in for my blindness. I remember one retreat where you told me that you thought of one of the attendees was hurting and I should go talk to him. I did, and all I discovered that everything was fine, which I then told you. Later you came by and informed me that he and his wife were having problems. You had learned this in just a few minutes of talking to him, and I totally missed it and was unable to discover it. But you completed me. I remember many of our firsts, the first time we held hands and the excitement that was in my mind and still is to this day. Our first real date, the first time we kissed, our first car, our first apartment, our first paychecks, our first house, being baptized together at the Twin City Bible Church in Champaign, Urbana, our first son, our first daughter. What I also remember are the many quiet times together, special times. Sometimes we would just sit side by side, and other times you might stretch out, put your feet in my lap, and I would sit and rub your feet for hours. You have built into me many things: your kind and loving spirit, your peacemaking spirit, and your love for God. Now, God has chosen to take you home. Oh, how I love the thought of you waking up in the arms of Jesus and seeing him look down on you and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." For now, God has chosen to support me with his perfect spirit, with our family, and with our friends. I will miss you deeply, but I will make it. I know that God has plans for me, plans to glorify himself by using me as a messenger and his servant. Someday in the future, I will finish the tasks that God has planned for me, and then he will take me home. After I see him face to face, I will be looking around and see you, and we will be able to spend eternity worshiping and praising our God together. I love you, Pat, and I always will. Thank you for being my wife, my love, and my partner in life and in service to our God. Don't worry about me. God has taken you home today, and I know that I am fully in God's able hands. He will ultimately take me home, and then we will rejoice together. Your loving husband and best friend forever, Carl.
Not too many love stories like that around, huh? That's a good one. You know, in the theology that I hold to, I don't necessarily believe that there's a perfect one for everyone. I think sometimes, once you are married, I believe that's God's will, but sometimes I think people find good mates and sometimes they don't choose so well. But sometimes I believe God does bring two people that are perfect together. And I believe that Pat and Carl were that couple. Deep love. A deep love. And I've had the privilege of discipling Carl for over 10 years, I think, and walking through life together. And I can tell you that firsthand knowledge that I saw and evidenced his faithfulness to his wife, his devotion to her, and his commitment to do anything he could to facilitate her ministry. So, very special letter. Thanks, Carl, for being willing to share that with us. We're a small, intimate crowd, and I know that most of you have things and memories about Pat that you want to share. So I'm going to ask Pastor Dean if he would hold the mic up. And usually in crowds, I say, you know, make it brief, make it short. Let's live it up. Come on. And just raise your hand, and Pastor Dean Christensen will come to you, and he'll give you the mic and give us your memory. Go ahead. Don't be shy.
Well, Pat and Carl and I worked with Awana. I was the Awana missionary. And talk about servants. They so encouraged me during times of trials and things. And they were always there. Pat was, you'd ask her anything to do, and she would do it. She never said why. And Carl was on my board, and he was the same way. I'd ask for help, and they were always there. I'm going to miss her. I love her like a sister, and she had, and I never kept statistics on how many kids at camp she led to the Lord, but she did a number. And so each one of those are leading people to the Lord, and each one of those are leading people to the Lord. So she has a great impact, and I just appreciate her. And Carl, I pray for you always.
Pat and I came to know each other by hiking together. Before then, I knew Pat casually through church and through talking with her mother when her mother came here. When Pat learned that I hiked with a group, she wanted to come and hike with me. Today, I was booked to hike Silver Creek Falls, and all week I have thought about Pat because that was one of the hikes that she and I did together. Clint drove us to the trailhead to meet with our hiking group, and when you hike God's wondrous world, it provides a serene setting for good communication. When it was time for lunch, we found this beautiful ledge that looked directly forward at a waterfall and just a little way away from the rest of the crowd so that we could talk and visit to our heart's content. Pat talked a lot about Carl and their dreams together, about Matt and about Becca and her extended family. She drew such satisfaction and fulfillment from working together with them and from her family. Jim said it right when he said Pat never drew attention to herself, never flamboyant, quiet, even a quiet voice. She worked then as a volunteer nurse at a drop-in center, and she also worked with Carl with Awanas. And it seems amazing how much she could accomplish in such a quiet way, and I am very pleased that I had a chance to know Pat.
Thanks, Dorothy.
My little time is just very brief because my wife Joy and we didn't really get to know Carl and Pat that well, but I just felt it appropriate to just say that we were new at Village, and we had an opportunity to be in a Sunday school class with Pat and Carl, and though our kind of understanding and relationship with Carl and Pat was brief, I just felt, we had a little bit of a brush there with them. And even though it was brief and we were new, but there was something about Pat and Carl just in that brief encounter that just was very meaningful to us being new here at Village, their friendliness and just the times that we had sharing with them really spoke a lot to me and to my wife, Julie.
Thanks, Larry.
I have so many fond memories in Awana with Pat. I remember once where she was introducing this one person to the kids, and she said, "This is a very special guest here tonight with us." And I always thought of Pat with such a soft heart and such a loving heart for the Lord, that Lord made her special in so many ways. And I have a lot of fond memories of that. And I just wanted you to know that, Matt and Carl, that she was very special. I can see that smile on her face now, and how much she cared for the kids and the way she shared that. And I'm just so thankful that I had a chance to know her.
Thanks, Don. Dean, Matt.
Well, let's see. My mom did a lot of things even after she left here. She went on some trips, and some of the pictures will show. She traveled sometimes, but she was a busy, busy lady. She was in the community, in the band. She was just always looking for places to serve. And it's humbling remembering her because she's just been such an example. And it would be easy to eulogize her, but there's not enough that I could say about the things she did. You'd all get very bored. One in particular is a jail ministry that she was involved in. This little story, I didn't find this out until weeks ago when she said, I didn't really want to do that in these fairly pestering type people that, that's too negative, but they wanted helpers, and so they were asking everybody, much like my mom would do, very kind, but persistent. That's a better word. Had mentioned it a few times, I would imagine, and my dad was preaching on Jonah at a number of churches, so mom went with him. And the third time, she said, you know, it took to the third time for me to accept that this jail ministry was my Nineveh, and I just didn't want to go. But she did. And I'm not a crier either. And so it'd be neat to say, well, she did jail ministry. And I don't think the jail ministry people even expect anybody to, you know, to come to your church. And they don't even suggest you give them your name or phone number. So mom invited one of the people over soon after, and Debbie came to her house, and they did Bible studies even after she was out. Debbie became a member of our church. She got baptized, and at the memorial service, you know, she said, they had this ministry at the prison, and it was sort of, you know, in the letter or something, and Debbie came up and said, you know, I'm here today because of Pat. And it was a neat, concrete, just this concrete example right in front of me that, you know, even the ministry she did, you know, with not even the most enthusiasm for initially, a little bit of apprehension. She touched people and just impacted, in particular, Debbie. But, you know, Debbie's got a family and children and maybe even grandchildren. It was a very neat testimony to just the faithfulness that she had there. So
I asked Matt to share that. I have a little experience with felons. And felons have this unique ability to read people and to read their authenticity. And if they find someone who's authentic, it changes their whole demeanor. You can talk to them. And I can see where Pat, even though maybe that wasn't her fondest, her choice, she would be awesome working with people that are behind bars. So thanks for sharing that, Matt. Don't be shy over here, Martha.
I don't know if I can do it. But Pat just really impacted our family through Awana's and their long, long time friendship. And what I want to talk about is the time she vested in our daughter, Amber. And Amber loved Awana's. And she loved going to scholarship camp. Mm-hmm. And that was always quite a journey. And they had, the policy was if you completed a book every year, you could keep going to camp. And so Pat committed to meet with her every Sunday night and listen to her verses. And so Amber just kept going because of Pat's encouragement. And completed every book through her senior year in high school. And Pat, when Amber would play violin, Pat would accompany her. And, you know, she had her own children, and she still invested in my children. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so thankful for that. And I think all three of my children walk with the Lord because of Pat and Carl's testimony and time invested in their lives. And I just, Carl, I just want to thank you for that.
I have been in this crowd before. Some of you have no trouble speaking. And I don't want you to go, I'm not going to belabor this, but I don't want you to go home and go, I wish I would have said. So anybody else that would like to share a thought about Pat?
Well, I've just been friends with Pat for a long time. Our kids grew up together. And just a better friend you would never find. She always had positive things to say about other people. I never heard her say anything negative about anyone or anything. She was just very, very positive. She encouraged other people. She encouraged me, and she just was a true friend. And Carl and Pat, you and Pat were just a great example to all of us of committed and vibrant, mature believers, and investing your lives in others. So thank you. And thank you to Pat.
I just wanted to thank Pat and Carl also for the time that they invested in the children of Village. My children went to Awana's, and my son was also friends with Matt, and they did lots of things together. And my son that's married in California is now an Awana leader at his church, and his little children go to Awana, and I know that Pat and Carl have a huge impact on this family of mine, and I know that they've had a huge impact on many other children and families in our community and throughout the world, and I just wanted to thank them so much for all that they did for my family and other children here at Village. And one little small story, my older son was very adventuresome, and he liked to do things, and he would check in to see if he could do something, and I would be not quite sure if that was a good idea or not, and he'd say, but Mom, Carl and Pat Simonson said it's okay, and that Matt can do this. And so I thought, if Carl and Pat Simonson said it was okay, and Matt can do it, you can do it.
Well, Pat was like a second mom to me. She carted me and Becca around to all sorts of different activities, and I really appreciated that. And I really enjoyed living with them for a while and having family dinners with them and just seeing them model marriage and what a healthy family looks like. And I just really love Pat, and I'll miss her too.
Anyone else? Thank you, Dean. I was...
Jim,
got one more. Oh, did we miss someone?
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Twenty-seven years ago, Gail and I moved from Hillsboro to Beaverton, and we began searching for a local church to put roots down, and visited quite a number of Washington County churches. And every Sunday, our girls would get in the car, and they were miserable. So we checked that church off the list. And finally, one Sunday, we came to a Village, and just a number of very significant things happened that Sunday that resulted in us still being members of this church and active involved here. But I think one of the really key things that happened that Sunday is this couple, Carl and Pat Simonson, came up to us and asked us if we wanted to go to lunch with them, which I thought was pretty cool. Now, that might be intimidating to a lot of visitors to a church, but for Gail and I, we just thought that was really neat, being first-timers at a church. A couple would invite us to lunch. And that began a 27-year wonderful friendship and relationship with Carl and Pat. I don't know if they were recruiting for Awana that day or not, but our girls, within a couple of weeks, our girls were in Awana as well.
Probably, so. Dave, probably.
Too, huh?
Yeah, this brought up a memory. I just wanted to share this for you, Carl. We mentioned it to Matt, and this just reminds me of your faithfulness that Pat and you. And one time, Vicki and I were both working in Awana's, and we were running around with our three kids, and
And we both go home. And we get home, and it's a ways away, and all of a sudden we realize, where's Matt, our youngest son? And I thought, Vicki, you had him? No. No. All of a sudden we get a phone call from Matt, who was how old? 10 years old. And we hurry and go back to the church, and there's Carl and Pat and Matt waiting with our Matt. And you would think they were there a long time, but they were so faithful. I just remember the smiles. And Matt was shooting baskets with our son, and all three of them were so pleasant and so warm and welcoming. And that's the way they were. And I do remember that from Pat working with Word and Sparks, that warm smile every single time. And I was so thankful for that.
Carl, we've had a great run over the years as Sunday school mates and as Awana leaders with you and as friends on a social basis. And Pat was pretty special to our family, as she was to many. She worked with our daughters in solo ensemble as an accompanist and was giving of her time selflessly, if I can get that out. But the one that stands out to me is we were over your house one night on a social basis, and this was when in your backyard you had a batting cage, and our daughters were out there, and we were inside talking, and all of a sudden we were called outside when one of my daughters put the barrel of the bat across the bridge of the nose of her sister. And Pat's nursing skills were called into action that evening. And she was just, seemed to be there all the time when we needed her, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
I was good friends with Matt and Rebecca in middle school and high school. But some things with Pat that I remember was solo and ensemble, that she played the piano when I practiced the violin, and she was so patient. You know, when we were practicing and I messed up, I'd stop and she'd just keep going and then realize that I messed up and stopped. And so she would say, I'll go back to right here. You know, she's just so patient, and she gave up a lot of her time because solo and ensemble did take up a lot of time, as there's different events and performances that you have to do. And just a few other things I remember, I think it was in high school, we had gone over to your house and at Christmas, and we had all the lights out, and so we walked around the neighborhood and saw all those lights, and just playing in the orchestra at church. You know, I just have those good memories. And of course, Awana, she recruited myself and my sisters. And the one who did accidentally break my sister's nose, thank you for being so kind about all of that. And I remember Pat being so patient when I was freaking out of what I had accidentally done and how I was going to be grounded for life. So thank you.
I think Pat recognized a good swing. I was thinking the other day about my first interaction with Pat. Our second daughter, Molly, had about a 4-foot umbilical cord, and we were taking her to Awana, and she didn't want to go. She didn't like to be left anywhere, and Pat was the first one to come up and got down to Molly's level and talked to her, and we were able to hand Molly off to Pat, and Pat was so gracious, and literally, for the first several weeks that we would take our Molly to Awana, Pat was the one we'd pass her off to because we knew she'd take care of her. Sadly, Molly has a 100-foot umbilical cord, and that didn't last long, but Pat was always there to help everybody, and I appreciate what everybody said because it is part of the tapestry of who she is. In my life, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of powerful people, public figures, and pastors and evangelists. You know, they're all great, but I wouldn't trade one of them for Pat. Because Pat lived her faith. Now that sounds really nice coming up from up front, and if you've been to church, you might hear that a lot. But Pat did it. Pat finished well. And all of us are blessed. I know all of you are by how she touched your life. And I really appreciate and thank you for sharing. Carlos had a video put together for us just to give us a little glimpse of the last several years, most of the years of her life. So we're going to enjoy that now.
What you are, unforgettable, though near or far, like a song of love that clings to me, how the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more unforgettable in every way, and forevermore, that's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
Going by, I see friends shaking hands.
imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Several weeks back, Carl called me one day, and I was on patrol in the city of Beaverton, and I don't usually pick up my phone, but I saw it was Carl, and he doesn't call me frivolously, so I picked it up, and Carl was on his way home from the hospital because they going to the hospital because Pat had a fever, but the news, at least at that point, was still promising. And the doctor had come in and given them unexpected news that Pat only had a couple weeks to live. And we processed that on the phone together a bit, as best as you can. And I know one of his concerns was how Pat was going to take it. And if you've known Pat for any period of time, she's very intuitive. And she picked up on it really quick and looked forward. You know, Pat's heart was, let's not stew about me. Let's move forward. There's life after me, and life isn't about me. And the doctors gave her 2 weeks, but she got four. And those were really special times. We talked every few days, Carl and I, about the processing that Pat would do. And Pat was very, very clear. In fact, I will tell you, Pat kind of wrote this sermon, so I'm cheating and stealing her material, because this is really what she wanted to say. Pat had a concern for others, and her and Carl walked through those concerns. She had verses that were important to her out of the Bible that meant something to her, but she also wanted to make sure that the people around her would ask themselves three very serious questions. And I always listen. I've had a lot of people that have died when I've been present. And their last words in the secular world are considered important. And I think in the spiritual world are considered important. You often hear the real heart of someone when they know that death is imminent. And Pat was very much aware of that. Very much aware of that, and spoke some very wonderful words and some very meaningful words. And she was right on. She nailed it. And so I just want to walk through three questions that she was asking for you, asking about you, wanted you to ask for yourself. And I think as you hear those questions, and I'm going to briefly walk through them, I think you will hear Pat's voice in them very much so. You know, I've talked about how awesome of an example she was, and she was. We've all known people in this life that claim a faith, and they claim a faith, and they can talk about it. They can argue theological points, but you don't always see their life emulate that. Well, that wasn't Pat. I've known people who have done great things, really, really good people, but never mentioned what they believed. And they died, and people said, well, that was really a good person, but no one knew why. Well, Pat was the perfect combination. She followed Jesus in her heart and in her actions. She wasn't just a fan of Jesus. She was a follower of Jesus. And that is not always seen anymore in these days and age. And And Pat showed that in a very important way. The first question that Pat asked was, she wanted me to ask you, what are you doing with your life? What have you done with your life? Well, I think to ask that question from Pat's perspective, let's look at Pat's life. She was an outstanding mother. I know that from Matt and Becca. She was a great wife. She was a very, very, very good friend. And she was a servant. And most importantly, she was a Christ follower. She did it all. And I know that I'm sensitive to the fact, I don't want you to think I'm trying to make Pat something she wasn't. This is who she was. She invested in my life. Carl and Pat both have invested in my life. When I made a major change from what I was doing here at Village to what I'm doing now, I called Carl. And Carl said, wait, Jim, we'll get Pat on the phone too. And their encouragement and support of me was part of what helped me make that decision. She was the real deal. She gave her life to others with purpose. Hers was a life of service. When Pastor Ron Mill passed away at Beaverton Foursquare, Village kindly put a sign up in remembrance of him, and it said, to Ron Mill, a life well spent. Because it was a life well spent. Well, that's the words that I've thought of for Pat this whole time. A life well spent. I hope I spend my life like she did. But I have to ask myself the question, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my life? I think I know pretty much everybody in the room. And most people here, if I don't know you, I'm going to assume are Christ followers. But Pat wanted to make sure the gospel was preached, that Jesus' death and resurrection and the life he lived, the lives he touched, and what he commanded us to do was preached. And it must be preached. It must be. Because everyone in this room, Pat has it up on us, every one of us. She has died. She has crossed over. She has heard, well done, good, faithful servant. And no one in this room has experienced that same thing. And we're all working toward that goal. But we have to critique ourselves. We really have to ask the question, am I doing what God wants me to do, or am I doing what I want to do? And if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, if you're going to call yourself a Christ follower, it's a must to invest your life in things that matter. It's important that we invest our lives in things that make a difference. It took me to John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And I would imagine in this crowd, we would all say, I do believe that. But the question I ask myself is, but does my life show that? Does my neighbors know that? Do my children know that? Do my parents know that? Or is that just a good, well-guarded secret? Do I live my life like a secret service Christian, carrying out my actions, but no one knowing why? And Pat did that. So that's the first question that she wanted me to ask. The second one, what are you doing for Christ? So the first one is, what are you doing with your life? The second one, what are you doing for Christ? I think we'd all agree that Christ has a plan and a purpose for all of us. But the distractions that all of us face in this world are huge. It's one of the greatest tactics of the devil, is to distract us. We get wound up in things that are petty or problems or people we're mad at or someone that's offended us, or we drink our own Kool-Aid and we think we're something more than we are, and we lose sight of who we follow every single day. I'm one of those people who believe you die when you're done, when God's done. But isn't it true that many people stop long before God calls them home? Because they get distracted. I love the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts 20. Most of you know this, and you know we're at a place with Paul, and people don't want him to go because they think he's going to get killed, and he doesn't get killed. But I think the context of that is very, very important, to his heart. And he says these words, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think I fully understand this passage. I don't think I fully live this passage in my own life. I don't know that it's a theme of my life. Acts 20:24. However, I consider my life worth nothing. And remember, he's being told he faces death. He's going to get hurt. He's going to be harmed. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. We all have that responsibility. God has a plan that affects everyone in this room. I believe you have your own little file in heaven. And this is what the good works God plans for you to do. But you've got to be willing to invest your life in Jesus Christ, to have a life well spent. And Pat wanted to make sure that you had that challenge. The final question, are you running the race in a way to win and finish? So you're a Christ follower, decide you're going to follow Christ, you decide you're going to invest your life in Christ, but are you running the race to finish? Are you running the race to win? Pat asked me, indirectly, through Carl, to read to you Hebrews 12:1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When I was growing up, I played baseball and I played hockey. And there were baseball players that I'd watch hit, and I would study how they hit the ball. And there were hockey players I'd watch, and I'd watch how they do certain moves, and I invested a lot in my own soul to try to emulate them so I could swing and hit the ball further, and I could shoot the puck faster. And it made sense. If they were doing it well, if I did what they did, I could do it well. Well, I believe that's true of Pat. If I want to live this life well, am I willing to be a humble servant who does not put my interests or my wants ahead of Christ's interests and Christ's wants? And I will emulate that. I will invest in that. I will act that out. I mentioned earlier that I believe Pat was a follower, not a fan. And I think I see a lot of fans these days, and that's not a criticism of anyone because I think I've struggled with that. I'm a fan of football. I love the Green Bay Packers. That's God's team. That G on their helmet stands for God. And the Packers, I go and watch their games every Sunday on TV. I wear the T-shirt. I root for the team. I call them, when they win, I say, we win. I'm invested in the Packers. But if the Packers asked something of me that I didn't want to do, I would dump the Packers in a heartbeat. And when they lose, I always say they lost. That's a fan. There are people who follow Jesus, or there are people who call themselves Christ followers who really are fans. They come on Sunday, they wear the shirt, they can talk about the guys on the team, they even read the program, but they don't always follow. That's why I love this woman. Because she followed. She did it right. She did it right. And that has to be honored when you talk about Pat's life. So what was the prize? Well, John 14:2, in the King James Version, because that's how Pat liked it read. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, Jesus said, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I have no doubt in my mind, that's where Pat is today. It's Pat's best day. She ran the race and she finished it well. And it wasn't because she was trying to impress you or me or get something for herself. Pat Simonson loved God and had a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. And we are all better for knowing her. Well done, Pat. May we live as you lived, a life well spent. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you. Good work with her. She was a 10. And we're all different for knowing her. And we're better for knowing her. Because she followed you. And her life made a difference. May every one of us in this room, starting with me, have a life that can be spoken the same way. Not a life that desires to impress people, God, but a life that desires to impress you. Thank you for Pat. I ask you, Lord, to bless Carl and Matt and Beck in the days ahead as this new chapter of their lives starts today as they head home. May you be with them. May you comfort them. May they sense your love. And I look forward to seeing, God, what you're going to do in their lives in the days ahead. Because truly, Becca, Matt, and Carl aren't done yet. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you again for Pat. In your name, amen.
One of the things that Pat never, ever tired of, never lost her amazement of was God's grace that had been poured out on her. As we close today, let's sing together that great hymn.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. T'was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures.
Let's stand together.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace, amazing grace. Through many days dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home, and grace will lead me home. His grace will lead me home. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace, amazing grace, amazing grace.
Let's sing that last stanza. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less day to sing God's praise than when we first begun. So, Lord, may we continue to sing your praise here until we join Pat and the other saints that have gone before us who are singing it now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask Jim to take Carl and Matt on down to the reception area, and we'll go ahead and follow. If you didn't get a chance to share on the microphone, let me encourage you to make sure you come and share a hug and a memory with Carl and Matt. Thanks again for coming.